and welcome to Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo. I'm Ryan Bickle. On today's show, we're going to talk about Blank Park Zoo and all the things that we do here at Blank Park Zoo to save animals, both at the zoo and in the wild. And then we'll have some steps on what you can do to participate. And with me, as always, Jesse Lowry. Jesse, why don't you get things started today?
Thanks so much, Ryan. I'm happy to be here again. And what we were kind of thinking for this episode, just like you said, is let's talk about all the different ways that Blank Park Zoo is saving animals in the wild, how we are a conservation organization. And then we're going to move to actions that individuals, families, schools, classrooms, people of all ages can do to help save animals from the wild, in the wild. Because a lot of people think, hey, we live in Iowa. We don't have an ocean nearby. There's no rainforest around here. Is there really anything that we can do to save animals? And actually, it really boils down to that personal responsibility and what we can do in our own lives. But as an AZA accredited zoo, Association of Zoos and Aquariums, we are here to save animals in the wild and make sure that the animals that are under our care here at the zoo have the best possible lives, to really inspire the community as a whole to make a better world for wildlife. So when we're talking about how Blank Park Zoo is saving wildlife, one of the big things is that we're helping to save from extinction through the Species Survival Plan, or SSP. Ryan, before we explain what that means, what's your favorite SSP animal here at the zoo?
Well, there's so many. Of course, the rhinos are probably at the top of everyone's list. Definitely, that's the one we've had the most success at recently. So rhinos, and then, of course, the big cats are awesome as well.
These are the charismatic megafauna, or the charismatic megavertebrates, which I actually heard the other day, which I'm gonna use that one. They're the animals that you think about when you think of a zoo. And yeah, our rhino babies are some of our most famous SSP animals. And what the Species Survival Plan is that all accredited zoos work together and keep very careful records about the genetics of all of the animals. And these animals move in between throughout these different accredited zoos depending on who has the expertise to take care of these animals, who has appropriate facilities to take care of these animals, so we can match individuals up to make robust offspring to make sure that there's no inbreeding. And then when we make these offspring, for example, we've had two critically endangered eastern black rhinos here at the zoo. Those individuals will help hedge against extinction. It's I kind of liken it to an insurance policy against what's happening into the wild. So Tumani and Kamara are two rhino, you know, babies that we've had here at the zoo. They may or may not ever go back into the wild. But they're extremely important. They're one more rhino to the global population. That is only about 800, and that is in zoos as well as the wild population. So hopefully, Kamara and Tumani will go to other accredited zoos and help increase the population even more.
And an important thing to note about that is that most zoo animals now don't come from natural areas.
Yes.
They come from other zoos and the breeding programs that we have. So we think that's a good thing, that animals don't come from natural areas, that we are self-sustaining. And also it is that sort of that Noah's Ark, if you will, in case natural areas go away and animals go extinct in the wild areas.
And to take the example of rhinos, with the extinction crisis that's happening in all of the natural areas that rhinos exist, about 3 rhinos are poached every day, of course, for their horns. And so it is not usually a good idea to put these animals back in the wild when such a crisis is happening. Of course, rhinos are poached for their horns. Their horns are made out of keratin, and they're used as traditional medicinal for medicinal purposes. But keratin is the same stuff our nails and our hair are made out of, and there's really no medicinal purpose to
it. And could you imagine someone being killed for their fingernails?
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Exactly. Poaching is a highly organized operation and something that zoos and aquariums are really leading the way at messaging against and trying to fix some of those big problems that are happening in the natural ranges. But, you know, a lot of the some of the animals that are cared for in accredited zoos and bred in accredited zoos do get released back into the wild. And so what's our most famous example, Ryan?
Well, the one that I had the privilege of actually releasing into the wild many years ago was a trumpeter swan. And Blank Park Zoo has released like 30-some trumpeter swans over the years. And I just heard a rumor, I hope it's true, that we're getting in another trumpeter swan. So hopefully that we will have a pair of trumpeter swans to make babies again. So maybe that will happen again in the future.
Yeah. Last I calculated, we have hatched 36 trumpeter swan cygnets from Blank Park Zoo and released back into the wild. And, you know, about a decade ago, we used to put these big red neck collars on the animals that we released back into the wild so we could track their movement. And this conservation project has been so successful because of organizations like the zoo and many other organizations across the Midwest that we don't need to track the animals anymore. But we got some really cool pictures of one of our trumpeter swans seen in Oklahoma. Do you remember those neat pictures that we got?
Yeah, those pictures are great. And, you know, they sort of look funny with those collars on. So
yeah,
I'm glad they don't have to do that anymore.
They don't. You know, and it's really a Midwest conservation success story. Trumpeter swans used to be widespread decades ago, but because of just conversion of the landscape and the draining of wetlands, the population plummeted. And it's a real great example of what we can do to help save these amazing species before they're gone. So we're really excited to be a part of that. Hopefully someday we can breed other animals here at the zoo and release back into the wild. I know there's a lot of native fish that need help here in Iowa. And so we're always looking for more opportunities. You know, another thing that Blank Park Zoo does and that many accredited zoos do is they provide a safe haven for animals that are deemed non-releasable back into the wild. So a great example of this, of course, is our bald eagles. They both came from rehab facilities, I believe, in the Northeast and had wing injuries. And actually, that's the only way you can ever see a bald eagle in captivity under human care is when they're non-releasable to the wild. And I know a lot of our education animals are some rescued animals as well.
Yeah, I believe our red-tailed hawk and mm-hmm. our owls and mm-hmm. Many snakes and reptiles.
Jersey the boa, that's Jersey, a really neat story.
Yeah, Jersey the boa constrictor. She was found in the wreckage of Hurricane Sandy mm-hmm. in New Jersey and needed a home. It was obviously someone's pet. And she had gotten out. Obviously, a boa constrictor is not going to be able to live year-round in New Jersey outside, so we were able to provide a home for her. And then the seals and sea lions, also at Blank Park Zoo, except for the one that was born last year,
mm-hmm.
they're all rescued animals that could not be re-released. So, it's fun to give animals a home. Unfortunately, we can't give every animal a home, but sometimes we can.
Sometimes and then it's really good for the zoo, good for the animals to have this place to live out their lives. The North American river otters are another really great example of that.
Yeah, we have two brothers in this year.
We have two brothers, and they are cute. I used to take care of the river otters when I was a zookeeper, and they are smart, quick, I'm going to even say witty. They are the smartest little creatures that you will ever work with. They are really neat animals.
The only negative is they smell.
Well, they smell
and they bite.
They bite and they can be pretty loud too when it's breeding season.
But that's so, part of their charm, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. So another great thing that zoos can do, accredited zoos, is just working locally. You know, I always say if you want to get the most bang for your buck, you should really work to preserve local natural resources and species. And we've got several examples of this. Over a course of a 5-year period, we partnered with the Iowa DNR and translocated 500 greater prairie chickens from healthy populations in Nebraska to appropriate habitat in southern Iowa around Kellerton. And were you able to ever go on one of those trips to Nebraska?
I didn't go on one of those trips to Nebraska, but what I did was before we were evaluating whether this was a project we could be involved in, we went down to Kellerton and to the area they have set aside for prairie chickens there. And it was in the middle of the night, and we went into a blind, and a blind is basically a special tent that has a window in it. And we sat in there, and as the sun come up, the male prairie chickens do their call to attract their mates.
Which is called booming, right?
Booming, yeah. And they jump up and down, and they come right up to this blind, and I was able to snap some pictures, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Folks should really YouTube the Greater Prairie Chickens courtship behavior. It is quite a sight to see. I've never seen it out in nature, but they are pretty cool animals, and they're really an icon of the prairie, of an animal that was, they require very specific habitat. So we'll never have a lot of prairie chickens in Iowa, but hopefully we've got a nice, small, but sustainable population now.
It's amazing that, 150 years ago, there was millions of these prairie chickens around, and you wouldn't have needed to own an alarm clock because they would have done the job for you to get you up every day to work on the farm, because their call is quite loud. And if you have millions of them outside, I'm sure you would have woken up real early.
Yes, exactly. That would have been quite the thing to wake up to. Another way that we really help with native wildlife here in Iowa is, of course, through our Plant Grow Fly Pollinator Conservation Project. We encourage people to put these very important native plants back into the landscape, in a backyard garden, in a front yard garden, in non-farmable areas, in ditches. And that's because that's what our pollinators need most. Pollinators are responsible for one out of every three bites of food that we consume. And bees and butterflies are just really struggling to find the resources that they need. With the conversion of landscape, not only in Iowa, but really globally. So you can find out more about that on our zoo's website, of course, about all of these projects. We've got about 1,350 gardens registered with the project so far. So that's really a fun project to work on. And last but not least, we are very active in our upcycle program. And that one's really neat, too, and has a direct effect on natural resources here in the greater Des Moines area. We've got volunteers who go out into nature, natural areas, and remove invasive plant species. A really great example is honeysuckle. Many times in early spring, when you're hiking through the woodlands here in Iowa, that's all you see. And that's why it's become invasive, is because it doesn't have to play by the rules that all of our other native plants play by. It blooms earlier, it blooms later, and thus chokes out the native plants that provide those building blocks of the ecosystem in Iowa. So upcycle. Oh, and I forgot almost the neatest part of upcycle. What do we do with all that stuff, Ryan, that we cut out of the parks?
Yeah, they bring it back to the zoo, and then the giraffe love honeysuckle, and so they get a munch on it, and it's a treat for them.
Yes, yes. So everybody wins. That's a really neat project. Yep. But let's move on to my favorite part. And it's a really important role that zoos can play. And that is the financial and in-kind support of those heroes out on the front lines in the range countries of the animals that we have here at the zoo. And some we don't have at the zoo, like chimpanzees. And it really boils down to that a portion of every single dollar that we make at Blank Park Zoo goes to projects like Giraffe Conservation Foundation in Namibia, Hornbill Research Foundation in Thailand, Snow Leopard Trust in Mongolia, Health and Harmony in Indonesia, and many other projects that are working in those range countries. They are the local people. They are the ones that really know what is happening with these animals and habitat destruction, and they're the ones that are going to be able to fix these problems. And so even though we're a small zoo and we are in Iowa and we're in the United States, we can still make a difference for some of these exotic species that we want to have survive for generations to come. And so you know every time that you come to the zoo, or if you become a member, or you ride the train, or buy an ice cream cone, you're helping to save animals in the wild. And overall, all the accredited zoos in the nation give about $220 million per year to save animals in the wild. So
yeah, jointly, we're the largest conservation donor collectively to wildlife.
Yeah.
Even bigger than some of the big names that everyone has heard of. Yep. So, yeah.
It's really neat when you look up some of these leading conservation groups and you just turn to, their page of funders, and you'll see many, many zoos are the top funders of all these projects. Another really important thing that we do, even though we only have about 60 staff here at Blank Park Zoo, some people might say we're a small zoo. We like to say we're intimate. We have experts in everything from veterinary care to rhino husbandry to giraffe husbandry to marketing and IT and conservation and research and education. So we have started sending our staff to work for those field projects. And we have many examples. Mallory, an education staff member, just got back from Costa Rica working for a native wildlife rescue organization. We've got Dana, our aquatic supervisor, is getting ready to go to the East Coast to work on invasive fish removal. And Megan Stegmeier, our supervisor of birds, is getting ready to go to Australia to work for cassowaries. And what else is going on with cassowaries right now at Blank Park Zoo, Ryan?
Well, we had something exciting. For the first time since we started having cassowaries at Blank Park Zoo, we had a cassowary egg hatch. And so that's really exciting because not only did it hatch, but it lived and it's growing and it's big.
Thriving.
And you can see him on following his dad around.
Mm-hmm.
Big birds like cassowaries and ostriches and emus, the dad incubates the eggs and raises the chick. And so our cassowary dad, his name is Big Bird. And I guess yesterday it was announced that our little chick, his name is Radar. So I guess that has a Sesame Street reference. I wouldn't know, but...
It doesn't have anything to do with MASH?
No, I guess not. That's what I was thinking. But.
So I guess Big Bird on Sesame Street has a teddy bear, and the teddy bear's name is Radar.
Radar.
And so that's how staff came up with it. I think it's pretty cute.
Yeah, I like the name, I guess.
Yeah. So they're an endangered bird, and Megan's getting ready to go to Australia, and we're so glad that we can have that bird here at Blank Park Zoo to share that message and send our staff all the way over to the other side of the world to take care of them in the wild.
Do you think Megan will sound Australian when we do our interview with her?
I hope so.
Yeah, she comes back with a bit of an accent.
A bit of an accent. And What's that stuff they eat?
Vegemite.
Yes, I'm so glad that you could think of that word.
Yeah.
Have you tried it?
Yeah.
Pretty salty.
I've not tried axle grease, but that's exactly what I imagine it would taste like.
That's awesome. So let's see. Before we end this show, looks like we've got a nice chunk of time left. Let's move from all the ways that Blank Park Zoo, with the support of the public and our members and the people who come to the zoo, save animals in the wild, to what people can do, no matter their age, their demographic, if they live in Iowa or some other place in the world, what can everybody do to save animals in the wild? And over the past few years, we've really been trying to coalesce around a few of these action items that people can do. And we already talked about plant grow fly, but that's one of our major actions that people can do. Planting a butterfly garden, like we said, will give these important, hardworking, beneficial insects the resources that they need, and it's easy. You can do it on a small scale or a large scale. It's fun for your family. And you know, green spaces and gardens are not just good for wildlife. They're good for people, too. There's research out there that shows that a green space or a park in the middle of an inner city will decrease violent crime rates. It helps with mental health. And I saw a meme the other day that said, let's see, taking that walk in the woods was such a waste of my time, said nobody ever. And so nature can really help not just wildlife, but people as well. So planting for pollinators is one of our action items that we really encourage our audience to try it out. Our next one is stomp the straw and single-use plastics. So it's hard, Ryan, to decrease our use of single-use plastics, isn't it? Even as conservationists.
I think that especially the straw is very difficult for me. You know, there's times when I go to a restaurant and I remember, but most of the time, you know, that drink comes and you're like, oh, I forgot to say no straw. But there have been times when I have remembered and I've said, I have said, please no straw. And they're like, oh, save the wildlife. You know, so it is catching on, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are several things when I think about plastic use and straws and everything. Because you hear like United States, we have a plan in place to take our plastics to landfill. And that's true. But at the same point, when you ride your bike and near a waterway or whatever, you look over and that sort of little that... that little lake that is off to the side where the water's stagnant, there's all sorts of plastics in the water almost all the time. So we're not perfect at it, and so we need to get better at that. And then the other thing would be even though it's not a huge effort to do it on our end, it's just establishing that sort of behavior of reduce and reuse, I think really helps a lot.
Yeah. Part of our Stomp the Straw campaign is to just raise the awareness about all types of single-use plastics. Straws are a big part of plastic pollution in the ocean and waterways locally and globally. But single-use plastics overall, animals will get entangled in it or they'll ingest it, mistaking it for food. And plastic really doesn't ever go away. It just breaks down into what we call microplastics, which poses an even greater threat to wildlife. Many people have heard that plastics are now in bottled water. Plastics are now in the fish that humans eat. And so it's really causing a lot of problems. It used to be, and I'm doing big air quotes here, an environmental problem. And now plastics are really a number one threat to wildlife. And like you said, Ryan, when I go to a restaurant and I sit down, I'm excited. We don't go out to eat that often. My daughter needs to, do they have a kids menu? Mm-hmm. Do they not? Where's the yeah. drink menu? All this stuff. And then boom, the straw is on the table. And so what we want to do with the development of Stop the Straw is just to raise that awareness and say, okay, if we can remember that not everybody needs a straw, some people do, and that's just fine. Some people really physically do need a straw. Mm-hmm. And if only those folks who needed to use a straw used a straw, we wouldn't have this big problem. But taking your reusable bags to the grocery store, bringing your reusable water bottle with you during the day, all of these things together are going to really make a difference the more and more people that do it. And then corporations and governments and nations can all kind of catch up and help chip in to solve this problem as well. So it's kind of a hard one, but it's also a really great opportunity, we think. The next one is bring your cell phone to the zoo. What does cell phones have inside of them that makes it a wildlife issue?
And I think you're talking about your old cell phone.
Yeah. Do new cell phones not have coltan in them?
Well, they do, but okay. If you're using your working one, we don't want you to give it to us just yet. We want you to use it, and then when it's been replaced, then you can bring the old one to the zoo. So yeah, there's a mineral in there that is only found in several places. And that is habitat for gorillas and okapi. Mm-hmm. And so if they don't have to mine for that mineral, then the animals enjoy more habitat.
Yeah, and this mineral called coltan, like Ryan said, is in lots of electronics. And it's mined in a place where some of the most critically endangered animals in the whole world live. And so by bringing your cell phone to the zoo, we will send it to an organization called EcoCell, and they will do one of two things, refurbish it for its parts or recycle it responsibly, getting rid of the hazardous materials. But what that means is it decreases the need for new coltan. And in return, they also make a financial donation to a gorilla sanctuary called the Grace Gorilla Sanctuary in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And so I just love those win-win projects where everybody wins. We can keep cell phones out of the landfill. We can help gorillas. We can help okapi, which we have here at the zoo. And we can help them in the wild. And so bring your cell phone to the zoo during regular business hours. We've got a collection box at admissions. We can take them at special events and at zoo brews. Maybe you've got a whole office full of people that you can gather their old cell phones and old iPads and tablets and bring them to the zoo. We sure would appreciate it. I met the founder and executive director of the Grace Gorilla Sanctuary at a conference about 2 years ago. And she came up to me and said, "Oh my gosh, you're from Blank Park Zoo. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing and all those cell phones that you're collecting." So even just a little thing like that can really make a difference.
How many cell phones have we collected?
I think this year we've collected maybe about 250. I think we make a goal of about 500 every single year.
All right.
So let's move on to maybe a little bit more of a complicated issue. The next action that we're asking our audience to do is to hunt and fish lead-free. Yes, a zoo is encouraging you to hunt in Iowa. Some folks might think that's a little counterintuitive, but deer hunting in Iowa is an extremely important conservation activity. We took out all the predators, and so we need to make sure that the deer population doesn't get too big. And of course, all of the taxes on firearms and hunting licenses, a lot of that money goes to both non-game and game species conservation in Iowa. But the most prominent type of ammunition that is used is lead. When it hits the body of the deer, it can fragment into tiny little pieces, sometimes up to 400 pieces. Hunters will do their best to get it out of the landscape when they leave the gut pile in the field, when they field dress the animal. That the remains in nature are an important food source for scavenging animals in Iowa, including the bald eagle. And a piece of lead that's smaller than a grain of rice can be lethal to a bald eagle. So we are partnering with our hunting community friends here in central Iowa and beyond, and just trying to outreach about all of the alternatives to lead ammunition. So you can go to our website to find out more about that. We call it Iowa Hunters Leading the Way. And the last thing, Ryan, it's an easy one. Become a member of Blank Park Zoo, because a portion of every dollar that we make goes to save all these animals in the wild, as well as make the lives of the animals here at Blank Park Zoo the best they possibly can be. So that's a super easy one.
And the animals at Blank Park Zoo like it when you visit.
They do. They really
do. Yeah.
I was a zookeeper for 9 years. They love that interaction, especially the domestic animals. They're the ones, you know, the donkeys and the llamas and the goats. But all of the animals love to see just all of that action happening around the zoo in busy days.
And giraffe feeding? I think the giraffe love giraffe feeding time.
Mm-hmm. And the underwater viewing at the seal and sea lion pool, they're very interactive. The cats are interactive.
Some of the greatest pictures I have come from there. Right? The underwater viewing, the kids are lined up and the seal looks at the kids through the glass.
Yeah. The otters love to interact with people.
Yeah.
I would say a lot of the animals are, the macaques.
The macaques.
Especially the young ones.
The log that that the kids can go into and it has that mirrored glass and the macaques can interact with you that way.
Yeah.
And
it's really been fun working here and getting to know the animals both individually and the differences between the species. We've just got a really great opportunity as a zoo, having these amazing animals here to learn more about them, to help make sure that we can save them, for our kids and our grandchildren and all that cliche stuff that you hear all the time. But we really are doing it, and we just appreciate our audience and our members so very much.
So this is a little bit different question I have for you. Have you seen The Lion King yet?
I haven't seen The Lion King. I had it on my calendar for the past about year.
Uh-huh.
And last weekend it just didn't work out. Did you see it?
I saw it. It's great. And I know that it's not official, but I think Kamara, our baby rhino, makes a cameo appearance.
Oh, really?
At least maybe one of her cousins does.
That's so awesome. Yeah. I love it. Well, we're definitely going to still try to see it in theaters. I'm sure it'll have an extended play. But I know a lot of my interns, a lot of my volunteers say that what inspired them to be a conservationist was Lion King and things like that.
Yeah.
So there is definitely, and of course, Disney. They give millions of dollars every year to save animals in the wild. So
there we go.
Well, all part of the solution.
Well, we're about out of time, and thanks for listening to us today. And we hope to see you next time here on Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo.